us, and he's there when nobody else is. Amen. I tell you, it's a real blessing to know. Well, David said in the Psalms, he said, no man cared for my soul. And, you know, we all feel like that maybe from time to time. But I'm glad the Bible said there's one that sticketh closer than a brother. And that is our amazing Lord, and he does stick close to us. If you remember here a couple of weeks ago, it's probably been a couple, I think at least that many, we kind of started in the book of Ruth, and we talked about the challenge of the family. So I want to go a little bit further into that tonight, if we can, and we looked at chapter number 1 in the book of Ruth. I want us to go to chapter number 2, and again, we're going to still be on the same thought, the challenge for the family, and as I think, boy, the days that we live in, there is certainly some great challenge for people's families, right? I mean, there's all kinds of things going on, but there is definitely a challenge in the day that we live. And the family is, I think, the very first institution that God created and put together the family unit. He started with Adam and Eve, and then they had children, and you know how those situations worked out as far as the kids that Abel and Cain and the problems they had. But there's been the institution of God, marriage, and the family from the very beginning. Now, you can see, and we've seen it for quite a while, that the devil just tries to mess up anything God does. And if he can't mess it up the way, you know, from some straight-on vantage, he'll create something to kind of sidetrack it. So now we've got all kinds of problems and issues in our world and in our lives that has derailed the family, devalued the family, and just tried to absolutely get rid of the idea of family or change the idea. But I'm telling you, God's still in favor of his original plan. And that's the way God does things. So anyway, we talked about the family and the challenges of it. And last time we talked about those challenges of the family being torn there in chapter number 1. I want you to look in chapter number 2, though, and things, as I told you, at the end of chapter number 1. There's Naomi, and she's challenged. She is challenged with the fact that she is just in the a bad place, just mentally, physically, emotionally. Her world is all messed up. And you know, when she comes back to town, there in verse number 20 of chapter number 1, they look at her. It said the whole city was moved about them, her and Ruth. And it said, and they said, is this Naomi? They looked at her, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. And she said, I went out full. The Lord's brought me home again empty. And why then call you me Naomi, which means pleasant or happy, her name did, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. She feels like she is in a place where it's hopeless, it's just pointless. I mean, she just don't know what to do, right? And that's where she is. And, you know, some of us, and maybe all of us today in this room, somewhere along the time in our lives, we'll get to that same point too, where we just don't know what we're going to do. We don't know that it is going to work out or how it's going to work out or if anything will ever be better again. And let me just tell you, God's still working in the background. As a matter of fact, verse 22 in chapter 1 says, so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Here they are, and they're home. They're back to the original home of Naomi and Elimelech and her two boys, Mahlon and Chilion. And they're there, but now she's returned. And she said, well, everything's just, my life's just messed up. God has, it seems like he's torn things up in my life. My life is in a shambles, in a mess. I want to tell you, don't stay there. Don't stay there, but look out and realize that God is doing something and God can make some great changes. So look in chapter number 2 with me, verse number 1. The Bible said, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. And then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you again for your word. Thank you for all your goodness and all your mercy and all your grace on us. And may we be like Ruth in these verses and say, God, why would you have mercy and grace and goodness on somebody like us? But thank you that you do, and we praise you and we worship you for that tonight. And I pray now you just add your blessing to the reading, to the scripture, to the preaching, to everything that's done tonight. May we honor you and praise you. Save that when it's lost. Draw us close to you. Give us your good grace tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. As I said, I want to talk to you tonight about the challenge to the family. But this time, we're going to call it, in chapter number 2, the challenge of trusting. The challenge of trusting. Now, as I say, we looked in chapter number 1. We saw the challenge of being torn. And they certainly were in a situation where there was a lot of things pulling and tugging at them, causing a division or causing a problem of being torn. Death came in and took away Elimelech and the two sons. And then here's Naomi ready to get out of there, and there becomes a division. One of the daughter-in-law stays, the other one goes. I mean, there's all kinds of tearing that goes on. And then there's the emotional tearing that we talked about with Naomi. She said, hey, I'm just tore up over all this stuff that's happened. God's put out his hand against me, and I don't even call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, because I'm in a place of bitterness. And we see that she's in that state. But as I said, man, just imagine this. Realize that God is doing something. God is getting ready to do something in their lives. And it's just like it is in my life and your life. So most of the time, you can't see it ahead of time. It's something you have to be into just as the thing unwinds and unrolls, and as God is in it, you begin to realize God is doing something. Amen. Aren't you glad God does stuff in our lives? Amen. I want you to notice this first of all. We'll say this is the challenge of trusting. First of all, I want you to notice the trust is responsibility. The trust in responsibility. Now, here's two women, and we don't have any idea necessarily about the age of the two women. We don't know how old Naomi is. Naomi's been married for some time. As a matter of fact, we heard her testify in the last chapter. She said, I don't have any more children, and if I was to be married tonight and had a child, That doesn't really tell us how old she is, but she said, "I just don't have any hopes of getting another husband, having any more children. That's just that my life seems to be at this place in time. I'm out of the marriageable age," is what she seemed to be saying. "I'm going to be a widow. I'm contented in the place of widowhood." And we feel like, as just reading and understanding, that probably Ruth is quite a bit, obviously, younger, having married one of Elimelech and Naomi's son. So we feel like she's a younger girl. And there's still some hope and some help for her in the idea of maybe being married. And that's one of the things that Naomi has on her mind in the first chapter when she tries to discourage both the girls from going with her. Stay here, get married, have a family, live your life. You've got a lot of life ahead of you. She's trying to encourage them. But she's saying, "Look, I'm out of it. I'm in a place," and she was probably in such a mindset that she thought, "Man, I'm no good." But now she's at a place, hey, both of them have got to trust in the Lord. You got to trust in the Lord. With your family, many times, you don't know what to do. You don't know how it's going to work. You don't know what's going on. You've just simply got to trust in the Lord. Amen? Now, as I said, let's first look at this, and we're going to say, let's trust and see the trust in responsibility. And the trust in responsibility. Now, I want you to notice this as we begin to see this. It introduces us to a man by the name of Boaz. And we already met the other two characters that are pretty primary, Ruth and Naomi. And in this beginning of this chapter, verses 2 and 3, it says, "And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field to glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech." I want you to look at that. And as I say, think with me on this thought right here. The trust in responsibility. The trust in responsibility. I mean, somebody's got to be the responsible person down at your house. Amen? In your family, somebody's got to be responsible. And really, in the idea of adulthood, if there's two adults, hey, both of you need to take some responsibility. Well, here was Naomi and Ruth, and I mean, obviously, hey, something's got to happen or they're going to starve to death. They're in a real fragile situation. They're in a place where, well, what are we going to do? I want you to notice what the Bible says here. It says in verse number 2, "And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi," she is asking Naomi's permission to go out and to glean in the fields. Now, it's probably this, that she has talked with Naomi, and she's like, "What do we do? How do we handle this situation? We're here in this land, but who's going to help us? There are no men in our lives. There is your husband is dead. My husband is dead. And how are we going to take care of ourselves?" So she begins to ask her mother-in-law, and probably Naomi explains to her the law of the land. The law of the land is this: God made provision for people, for the poor people, for those that were, he calls them the strangers in the land, those that were in a particular place of need. God said to the people of Israel, when you reap your fields, leave the corners of the field and let people come glean the crop that's left, and let that be for the poor and for those he calls the strangers in the land. There was a provision made. Let me just tell you this. The provision is given where they can be fed. Amen? And there's nothing wrong with helping people. And God is a God of compassion, and he commanded his people to be people of compassion, right? But I want to tell you this. He said, somebody's got to get out there and work to get the food, right? Somebody's got to get out there. So Naomi has probably explained this to Ruth. And Ruth says, well, let me now go. Will you allow me to go and go to the field and glean the ears and find whatever I can find in whoever sight I can find grace? And her mother-in-law looks at her and said, hey, I think that's a good idea. Go ahead and see how it works out. Amen? As I say, this is trust in responsibility. I mean, she sees their need, and she's asking her mother-in-law, and I want to tell you something. She looks at Naomi, and she says, I want to tell you something, mother-in-law. We got some issues here. We need something to eat. Amen? So first of all, I want you to realize this. Their responsibility revolves around the fact that they need food. Hey, when Ruth goes out, she's looking for food. I mean, you know, that sounds pretty basic and pretty straightforward, but isn't that amazing? I mean, as I said, God has made a way. God has provided something. And she says, I just want to do this in a practical and a way of reasoning. I need to go out and get us something to eat. We're going to sit here and starve to death. Now, I don't know who else's responsibility it would have been in the society of Israel at that day. But Ruth says, I got to go work. I got to go get something for us to eat. I don't think we can stay here and make it in this condition right here. So what she's looking for, first of all, she's looking for food. She said, let me go glean the fields and get some grain and let's eat something. And then her mother-in-law said, go, my daughter. And notice that it says she went and she came and gleaned in a field after the reapers. And her hap was laid on a part of the field belonging to Boaz. So first of all, she is looking for food. But second of all, I want you to notice there in verse number 2, she's also looking for some favor. She's looking for some favor somewhere, somehow in her life. What do you mean? Well, look at what she says. Let me now go, in verse number 2, let me now go and glean ears of corn. He said, after him, after the person or the owner, the farmer, in whose sight, listen, I shall find grace. Amen? She's looking for some favor. She's looking for some grace. Can I tell you tonight, we need folks that realize they need some grace in their lives. Every one of us needs some grace in our life. Thank God, hey, we serve a God of grace. We serve a God with plenteous grace. We've got a God that has merciful grace. We've got a God that will give grace when we come and we ask Him. I don't know if Ruth realizes this now. I don't know if she's got a good understanding of it. But she's like, hey, I need the grace of God in my life. Can I tell you, it'll be a great day when you wake up and realize you need the grace of God in your life. Amen? Boy, she said, please help me, Naomi. You stay here and pray. I want to go find some grace in somebody's sight. Let's see if there's somebody out there that's got mercy. Oh, thank God, aren't you glad? Well, I wish an old sinner would come in here and say, preacher, do you have any way I can find mercy in this situation? Grace for this need in my life. Thank God we got somebody we can point them to. Amen? So she's looking for food. She's looking for favor. And then she winds up looking for a field. She said that she asked her mother-in-law, tells her to go. And it says she went, she came and gleaned in a field. And listen to what it says in the latter part. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. She had no idea who he was. She didn't know anything about him. I don't know that she'd even heard the name. She had no idea what was going on. But thank God she found her a field. Hey, can I tell you, when you find the right field and God is there, go ahead and get in it and experience all the goodness and the grace of that field. Amen. And that's what she did. Here's Ruth, and she has come upon this place. I mean, look, you see her, that she is devoted to her mother-in-law. She's devoted herself from chapter number 1. She said, wherever you're going, I'm going. Whatever happens in your life, it's happening in my life. Your people are going to be my people. Where you live, I'll live. Where you die, I'll die. Your God will be my God. I'm just devoting myself to you. Hey, give me some folks that want to get devoted to the things of God. Amen. She made herself a commitment compact to her mother-in-law. She got devoted to Naomi. You know what she did then? She decided that it was going to take some work for things to get done. And she said, I'll go to the field and I will work. But you know what she needed out of that more than anything, I guess? She needed some direction. And the Bible said her hap was to light upon the field. Listen, I mean, you can think whatever you want to. I know what your Bible says, and I know what my Bible says. But I believe God directed her to that particular field. I believe, as I said, hey, we're talking about grace. I believe God just whispered in her ear, turn right here. She turned to the right. He said, here, I want you to take a left. She take a left. I don't know where I'm going. Woo, can I tell you, sometimes you don't know, but thank God the Lord gives direction. Amen. Amen. Go back and read the story about Abraham. You know what happened to Abraham? God tells him in Genesis chapter number 12, he said, I want you to go to a place which I will tell thee of. You know what? Abraham didn't say, no, wait a minute, Lord. You know, let me get out my GPS here and let's punch this. Uh-uh. He had no idea where he was going. You know what that's called? Living by faith. I mean, that's where he had no idea where he was going. He had no idea of the direction. But you know what he did? He just followed God. And sometimes me and you, as saved people, we just have to follow God wherever he said go. And here's old Ruth. She has no idea. She's seeing a farm here and a farm there. Here a farm, there a farm, everywhere a farm, farm. I mean, she's seeing all that. Hey, she don't know what to do. But God said, go here. And it says her hap was to light upon a little place, some land, part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Amen? So first of all, in this idea of trust, the trust, you've got to have some trust and see trust in responsibility. In responsibility. And as I mentioned, she has decided to go to work. Let me just tell you this about work. Work is not glamorous all the time, is it? Somebody say amen right there. Sometimes work's dirty. Sometimes work is just, I mean, hey, you won't look like you're ready for your next screenshot. You won't be ready to be on the 6 o'clock news. You won't be ready for it. But I can tell you, good old hard, honest labor gives its own reward. Amen? I mean, hey, and Ruth says, you know what? Let me pull up my sleeve. I ain't afraid to go to work. Amen. That's what she's decided to do. And I believe the Lord is pleased with it. And she goes to this place. But I'm telling you, what she does, she realizes there's a need and something's got to fill it. Amen. So she goes to work. All right? So there's trust in responsibility. She has the responsibility, feels like it's laid upon her to meet the need of their little family. Just earn her mother-in-law, but somebody's got to do something, right? So second of all, let's look at this. Let's talk about the trust in regard to respect. The trust in regard to respect. Here she is, and she's out here working in the field. And it tells us she's in a part of the field that she's in belongs to Boaz, who is of the kindred of Elimelech. But look into verse number 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. Wouldn't y'all like that in the morning when y'all go to work? Brother Chris, you go into work and your boss says, the Lord be with you. Amen. Right, Brother Alvin, you go in, the Lord be with you. Y'all would pass out. Amen. Right. I mean, they might use the Lord's name, but it might not be like that. Okay. But, and I've been on them jobs too. Some of y'all have, right? But, I mean, could you imagine that going into work in the morning? The Lord be with you. Amen. Boy, it'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? And look what he says back to them. And it said, or he says that, the Lord be with you. And they answered him and said, the Lord bless thee. Woo, wouldn't that be great? That's some kind of conversation to have at work. Ain't too many of them goes on. Amen. But, I mean, here they are. Boaz said, Lord bless you. You're working for me and I want God to bless you. Hey, that makes sense. And you know, they're there and they're saying, look, we want God to do something for you. The Lord bless you. Amen. Let's get this thing. Maybe we can make more money if we've got more crops. The Lord bless you and we'll get more out of it. I mean, hey, doesn't that make sense? I'll tell you this. I really honestly believe this. If you're saved and you're working on your job and you're doing your very best, it'll bless the people you work for. And if you bless them, hey, they can turn around and bless you. You get a raise. raise, and you get a raise, and you get, you know, everybody get a raise. Somebody say amen right there. Hey, I just believe that's the way that we ought to approach things. But sadly, in our day, it's a fuss and a fight and a squabble and a war sometimes, isn't it? But anyway, here he is. He comes into work, and he's looking at them, and he said, Lord bless you, and or God be with you. And they said, Lord bless you. And it said, then Boaz said unto his servant that was set over the reaper, whose damsel is this? He notices this little girl out here working in the field, and he doesn't recognize her. He said, who is she? First of all, I want you to see in this little section right here, the trust that we're talking about in respect, that in regard to respect. First of all, I want you to notice her identification. Her identification. Who is this? Whose damsel is this? It said, and the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it's that Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. You know, that old Moabite girl. I mean, she ain't much. And she wanted to come down here, and she said she's going to glean, and so far she started this morning, she's still here, and I mean, I reckon she's going to work today. And he's interested. She has an identification. It's not a real good identification. It's not a real respectable identification necessarily. I mean, it's not that old Moabite girl. If you look throughout this, everybody else that refers to Ruth will refer to her as that Moabite woman. That old Moabite. And they were not highly thought of people. If you remember, the Bible says over in the book of Psalms, God said, Moab is my washpot. God has set some things against the country of Moab. Therefore, if you're of that country, you're in trouble with God. But can I tell you, God allows some U-turns in your life. Amen? So here's Ruth, and she's identified. And these guys are identifying as that old Moabitish woman. And it said there that she said, verse number 7, she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheep. So she came and she continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. She's been identified. But notice this also, not only her identification, I want you to notice Boaz looks at her and he gives her inclusion. She's included in something. Listen to what he says in verse number 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from thence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not commanded the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. He said, can I just talk to you a minute? He said, I'm glad that you're here. And I want you to stay. There's something going on the inside of Boaz. I mean, there's something that draws him to her. There's something about, and I don't tell you, this is the interaction that you see, but I'm telling you, it's a picture of how the Lord Jesus looked at me and you when we were lost, stinking, dirty, rotten sinners. Oh, everybody else is saying, that old stinking thing over there, you don't want none of them. But the Lord said, yeah, I believe I do. I believe I died for them. I believe I can save them. I believe I will save them if they'll just come to me. Amen? Oh, you see, he talks about her inclusion. She begins to be included. He said, hey, look, I want you to come here. I want you to stay here. I want you to stay by my maidens. I want you to be in this field. I want you, if you get thirsty, go get a drink. I've told these boys out here not to lay a hand on you. Nobody's going to bother you. Just hang around here. Amen? She is included. Look in verse number 14. And the Bible said, and Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. Man, she got included. She got invited up to the house. Amen? I mean, doesn't that make you feel good when you get included? When somebody comes by and says, hey, we're having a get-together, and we sure would appreciate it. Well, I'm not part of your family. It don't matter. Come on anyway. We want to include you in what we're doing. Can I tell you, that's the way the church ought to be. I'm talking about, now, folks need to get saved, but buddy, we ought to invite them in. We ought to make them welcomed when they come in the house of God. You ought to come in here and, man, somehow shake your hand. We're glad you're here. Thank God you're here. Hey, hallelujah. And you know what? We was talking, Brother Ronnie was talking about a little bit about this in Sunday school class this morning. And some of you may have had the same experience. And Brother Ronnie's talking about being in some churches where ain't nobody ever looked at them before. You go in as a visitor. And I mean, I've been there. They turn around like, what are you doing here? Really? You think you must have went to the wrong place. Amen? Hey, isn't that silly? I'm talking about the house of God somewhere. And they look at you like, what are you doing? I remember one time I went to a church up there in Nashville when my in-laws were up there. And we sat kind of in the middle of the church. And probably about in there like where Connie and Kathy Wilson sat along in that kind of area. And the preacher was preaching. Well, I like preaching. Amen. And he said something. I said, amen. There's about 4,000 here in the front. Turned around, looked at me like, what'd you say? I said, amen. You know, and after church, I'm like, man, you don't belong here, do you? And I said, well, evidently not. Amen. I ought to be somewhere. But, you know, isn't it strange how people are like that? I believe, man, when people come, they ought to be inclusive. We ought to be inclusive. We ought to invite them in. And, buddy, if they get in the service, come on, let's have a hallelujah time. Amen. If you're saved right with God, then you're on your way to heaven. Hey, you're my brother and my sister. Let's just go worship the Lord together. Amen. And here's Boaz. He is saying, you have been included in what's going on at this place. Amen. So he says, look here, he calls her in verse number 8, he calls her my daughter. Do you see that? Then said Boaz and Ruth, hearest thou not my daughter? Well, this is not his daughter, but it was a term that was like, you are like family to us. You're here, and you belong here. Don't go anywhere else. And notice what he says in verse number 8. He said, look, neither go thou from hence, but abide here fast by my maiden. I want you to stay here. You're going to be here. And then as a matter of fact, you see what he does? He invites her to come to the table and give her some of that food that he has. Amen? Isn't that neat that he has brought her to this place of inclusion? Abide here fast by my maidens. We want you here. Brother, hey, there's too many churches out there, you know, you've been there, probably somewhere along the line. I've seen people, they're in a church, and they come up, you're sitting in my seat. Really? I mean, I've been there, and some of you probably have too. I mean, your name on it? Amen. Is that really your seat? There's a lot of them on the highway out there, too. Go out driving sometime. You'll meet some of them. It's their road completely. Get out of the way. Amen. Hey, I'm just telling you, we have no business doing such things as that. I mean, if they're sitting in your seat, then go find you another. There's plenty in here, trust me, amen. You ain't crowding nobody, amen. Hey, but let me tell you, hey, that is the blessing of inclusion. Wherever God puts you, thank God, get in there and enjoy the fellowship and the worship and invite others and just get in there, get all conglomerated, mixed up, and be like a big bowl of goulash, amen. Just mix it all together, amen. I believe that's what pleases God. So here she was. She had her identification. She had her inclusion. But then we see her inquiry that she makes. Look in verse number 10. I mean, all this is going on, and he's told her, you stay here, you be in this field, you do. Look in verse number 10. Then she fell on her face. She bowed to the ground, bowed herself to the ground. And she said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Amen. Why are you being so good to me? Have you asked God that question? Lord, why have you been so? I'm nobody. I'm nothing. I'm just like a speck of dirt and dust. But thank God, why in the world have you been so good to me? Well, you know what that is? That's the grace of God. Amen. That's when God wants to show you his grace. And look, when Boaz saw her, he begins to talk to her. If you'll notice, the Bible says there, verse number 11, Boaz begins to talk to her. And he said unto her, "It hath been fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Amen? Boy, ain't that a blessing. What's he saw? Boaz looked at her and he saw her character. He saw that this is a woman of a great character. You notice what he said? He said, "It's been fully showed. Somebody, people have told me how good you have been to Naomi, how that you lost your father-in-law, lost your own husband, and you've still been faithful to her. You're out here working to feed her. You're being a blessing to her. You're taking care of her. You're committed to her." He said, "I know every bit of that." Amen. Isn't that a blessing? He said, "You are the woman of a right character. I would not doubt." Now you think about this. Think if it fits. I mean, think of where we are and who we're talking about. We're talking about Ruth, right? You know who Ruth's grandson is? It's David the king. Amen? Or that's her great grandson. Yeah. But David the king. You know who David's son is? A little fellow by the name of Solomon. And if you look in, Solomon writes the book of Proverbs. Amen? And in Proverbs, you get into chapter number 31. And it says in the latter part of that chapter, down about verse number 10 or so, it said, "Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies." And I might be led, I don't know this, it doesn't say it anywhere, but I might be led to think that old Solomon's sitting there thinking about great-great-grandma Ruth. And I've heard the stories of what she did for Naomi and stayed with her and brought her to this, that followed her up to this land. And just as a stranger, as a Moabite, as a nobody, she came in and she helped and she took care of her and she worked and fed her, done all that. And then God worked it all out. And thank God, hey, my daddy come out of that whole union that God set up. Amen? Woo, wouldn't that be something to think about that? And he said, "You know what I think? I think I could, I wish I could find a virtuous woman like that great great grandmother that I'd heard all the stories about." Amen? Woo. He said, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" Hey, listen. He looks at her and he says, I see your character. Not only does he see her character, he sees her caring. Again, he notes, he said, "It's been fully showed to me how that you have been with your mother-in-law, take care of her after the death of thine husband, how you left your mother, your father." I mean, she really cared about Naomi. She left everything. When you leave everything, you care. Amen? When you're willing to say, "Nope, I'm leaving this behind, I'm going with her," you care. And thank God that somebody cares. Amen? That's what we need more of in this world, people that have a caring heart and a caring attitude. So Boaz sees her character, her care, and then, as a matter of fact, he sees that she has a conversion to the Lord. Look at verse number 12. "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee," listen, "of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." She's got a conversion in her life. Oh, let me tell you. She found a place, if you'll notice, again, in verse number 14, she found a place at Boaz's table. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, "Come thou hither. Eat of the bread. Dip your morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers. Hey, she's different. She wasn't their kind of people. She wasn't like that. But you know what? She could sit at the table at Boaz's command. And it said, and he reached her parched corn. And she did eat and was sufficed. And she left. Amen? Oh, she found a place at Boaz's house. But I want to tell you this. She also found a place in Boaz's heart. Look here in verse number 15. And it said, and when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handsful of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean, and rebuke her not. Can I tell you, she found a place in Boaz's heart. I mean, his heart is smitten with her. And he said, boys, when y'all are out there gleaning, or when you're out there reaping, he said, leave some of it and let her get it. Don't get it all. Leave some, let her get it. And as a matter of fact, some of that you do get, just drop it on purpose. Just throw her down and walk off. And I'm telling you to do that. Well, boss, won't that kind of hurt our harvest? He said, I'm telling you, God will take care of us. You just drop it and go. Don't look back. Don't say nothing. Just keep on walking. Woo. Do you know what? He's done that for me a lot of times. Hadn't he done it for you? You're going along and you're thinking, man, I just don't know if I can make it. And then all of a sudden God drops something and says, here, pick that up and see how that does. You begin to pick it up, and you know what? For it, it's more than you can carry. It's more than you deserve. It's more than your work would be worth. But thank God he does it. He puts down those hands full of purpose sometimes and says, hey, angels, just drop it, leave it, and let him get it. And don't say a word. Amen. I just want to bless him. Thank God that's what happened to Ruth. All right, let's look at one more thing real quickly, if you will. We see that trust in respect and regarding respect. But I want you to notice, thirdly, the trust that is rewarded. Look down in verse number 18. All this stuff's happened. And it said, verse 17, so she gleaned and filled until the evening. And she beat out that she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. I mean, she had a big old sack full. And I mean, she's walking through the town, and they're looking, and she said, I got more than I can carry. And she gets home, and Naomi said, where'd you get that? That isn't normally what you get when you glean. Usually it's a little old bitty amount, but she's got the apron full. Y'all remember Grandma used to do that? My grandma would go out in the garden, she'd get stuff, she'd get that apron, she'd have her filled up, I mean, taters, beans, corn, whatever they were, and she had that apron pulled up, and sometimes it'd get a little bit too full. She'd come in there and pew, just dump her down like that on the table or in the sink or whatever it was, and man, that was a full load. Hey, I think that's what Ruth had. She got back home, and there's Naomi. And it said in verse number 18, and she took it up and went to the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she'd gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her all that which she had reserved after she sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? Where did this come from? Where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Woohoo! Hallelujah. I mean, something good's about to happen. I want you to notice this. When you look at this, I want you to notice, first of all, I mean, as I say, now the trust. She's got to trust that the Lord's going to do something. The trust is rewarded. First of all, I want you to notice the reward is seen in the lunch leftover. Look at verse number 18. And it said, when she took it up, she takes up what she has beaten out, what she has shucked, or the grain that she's got. She took it up, and her mother-in-law saw what she gleaned. But look at the very last part of that verse. And it said, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. Now, I think what that means is, if you look up in verse number 14, it said, Boaz told her, you know, come and eat. And it says in the end of the verse, and he reached her parched corn. And she did eat and was sufficed, and she left. You know what I think she did? I think she said, y'all got one of them take-home boxes? Amen. A doggy bag. Y'all got a doggy bag. And they brought her whatever out there, and she's got some leftovers. And brother, there's a reward for Naomi in the lunch leftovers. Amen? Y'all remember the little boy that had those little pieces of fish and those few pieces of bread, the five little pieces of bread, and how that God fed. And you know what? They took up 12 baskets of leftovers. What I'm telling you is, God's got some leftovers that'll be a blessing to you. Amen. The disciples took those baskets of leftovers. I don't know who they fed. Don't know how many got a hold of, whatever. But it's a blessing to somebody else, not just them out there on the hillside that day. Amen. Hey, here is Ruth. And she said, I left lunch today, and here you go. I got some leftovers. And oh, Naomi's eyes start getting big. Where you been? Where did this come from? She said, well, there's some guy named Boaz. You know Boaz? You ever heard of him? Oh, yeah, we know who he is. He's kin to us. Amen? So you see the reward in the lunch leftovers. But not only do you see that, you see the reward in the Lord's load that he gives them. Look there, verse number 19. Her mother-in-law said, where have you gleaned today? Where wroughtest thou? Where did you work today? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. There was something. She said, you've been loaded down with some money. Where did all this come from? And she said, I don't know. It's just this guy named Boaz. And this is just what I got. Did I do good? Yeah, you did. She said, the Lord has done good. Look at what it says. And verse number 20, and Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord. The Lord has let him bless us with a load of all of his goodness. Can I tell you, here I am too. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. God has loaded us down with blessings and with benefits, hasn't he? Amen. And Naomi is beginning to see that. And then you see verse number 20. Just read it again. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. I want to tell you this. Hey, it was the Lord's load and loading for Ruth. But I want you to realize this. The Lord lets Naomi know, I haven't left you. I haven't left you. Boy, you ever been there where you felt about this high? And then God does something and he just whispers, hey, I'm still here. And I have not left you. I'm here with you. I'm here to help you. And it might have looked dark. It might have looked bleak. It might have looked dim. But I'm still here. I ain't gone nowhere. Aren't you glad of that? Y'all have ever heard that old song? Come thou fount of many blessings. Or every blessing. That old song. Come thou fount of every blessing. And in one of the verses, I guess it's the last verse, it says, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. And the song goes on like how easily many of us can stray and get away from the Lord. That's the thought of the song in that verse. Well, there was a particular guy, that song was written probably in the mid-1800s. And the guy that wrote it had been a preacher, and then he got away from God and just quit preaching, quit, you know, everything. Got to a place where he did not want to hear anybody say anything about God. I believe his wife had died and had some children to die. I mean, his life had just gotten in a mess, like many of ours do many times. And he just got to the point where he said, I just don't want to hear nothing no more. I don't want to hear about God, don't want nothing. Well, one day this was in the old West time, and he was supposed to go from one place to another, and he was riding a stagecoach. Anybody in here ever rode stagecoach? I didn't think so. Well, in a stagecoach, if you ever watch Gunsmoke sometime, amen, get your good Gunsmoke. Well, in a stagecoach, usually you sat facing the person. It wasn't like buses where you're back to back to back, you know. It was like they sat on one side, you sat on the other, and you're having to look at each other, right? And that's scary. But here they are looking at each other. He gets on this stagecoach, and there's this young woman on there that has her Bible out. And she's reading her Bible, but she's one of them saved people. She starts reading it out loud. She's reading that Bible, and she looks over at him, and she says, "Robert, I'm going to read the Scriptures." And she begins to read the Bible, and it begins to irritate him. It begins to just tear him up, because he's mad at God, he's mad at the world, he's mad at everything, you know. And she begins, and she don't know this. She can tell by looking at him, he ain't real happy, but she's reading, she's doing her devotion. I mean, got a stagecoach ride, got a little ways to go. So she's reading, and part of her devotion that she did was, she read songbooks, and she pulls out a songbook, and she says, "Robert, can I tell you about this song? I'm going to read a little bit of it, and you tell me what you think about it." She begins to read the psalm, and it's, "Come thou fount of every blessing." And he's sitting there, and she's reading his song. She don't know he wrote. She has no clue. Had no idea that he wrote the song. But she's reading it to him. And she gets down to that last verse. And she begins to read, "Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it." And she looks over at Robert, and tears are running down his face. And God has just given him a whooping right there in the stagecoach. And she thinks he's getting a blessing out of the song. And so she keeps on going over the song. Amen? And I mean, he is getting whooped one side to the other. And finally, he gets off the stagecoach and he says, "God, I'm sorry. I am wrong." And surely, his own words that God allowed him to pen at one time came back to roost in his heart. Boy, aren't you glad? What I'm saying is this. Naomi, what do you think? "Well, I think God's trying to show me something. I think I'm getting over that bitter that I started out with here in this thing. And my bitter is getting better." Can I tell you this? Before it's over with, old Naomi will be back to Naomi again. Her bitterness is beginning to get a breakthrough to a place where God is saying, "I told you, I hadn't left you." And just a couple of chapters, she's going to be sitting there with that darling little baby named Obed right there in her lap. And she's going to say, "God, boy, I sure am sorry. I didn't know that you had this planned. But I sure am thankful for all you've done." Amen? And I'm just telling you, friend, sometimes, hey, it's a challenge to trust God in some places in your life. You don't know what he's going to do. I have no idea. You can't come to me and say, "Preacher, how God going to work this out?" I don't know. I don't know. But I can tell you this. I'm glad that he is able. Amen? I'm glad that he is able. Aren't you? Amen. Let's grab our songbooks, if you will. Glad God's able to do something with us. Amen. Let's just turn to page 57. I mean, we've been talking about grace. We might as well sing about it a little bit, right? Page 57.